in to First Take. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Christine Williamson here from Molly. You're in a really great mood this morning.
You know, I just did a little sip. What did you send me? Shay, what did you send me?
Shay by LaPortier? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Shay by LaPortier. Uh-huh. A little Shay by LaPortier. Uh-huh.
Shay by LaPortier. I took a little sip of that this morning, just letting y'all know. Just like, so if I
it's wild, early. Dre, it's
if I'm
very
a little
early.
Wild this morning,
I didn't get any Shay.
Don't blame
I'm just saying.
Me.
I didn't get any Shay. Just Shay's, go ahead and send some to Atlanta. You come to Atlanta. Just go ahead and send some.
Gotcha.
Shay, hold on. He didn't say it right.
He
don't say Shay by LaPortier. Yes, that's how you do it.
That's, what you
that's how
do.
You do it. You can't have your old cognac and just blurting it out like that. You got to add some sizzle to it,
yeah,
baby.
For sure.
Shay. By LaPortier.
By LaPortier.
Beautiful. Yeah. What a way to start the morning. You know exactly where we're starting things off
yes.
this morning. Last night, we were gifted with a rematch of last year's Women's Basketball Championship. This time, Caitlin Clark and Iowa avenged their loss to LSU 94-87 behind Clark's 41 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds. She was a bucket. Here's Clark after the win.
I feel like, you know, it's amazing to be back in the Final Four. It's so hard to get there, especially with this region and how loaded this region was. But, you know, we told ourselves we're the one seed for a reason. You know, we've earned this. We deserve to be in these moments. We're prepared for these moments. But I think we came out here and, you know, our second and third quarters, we played really, really good basketball. And LSU is a really good team.
Well, there's not a whole lot of strategy. You got to guard her. Nobody else seems to be able to guard her. We didn't even guard her last year when we beat them. She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
And it was a record-setting night for Caitlin Clark, including passing Diana Taurasi for the most three career three-pointers in NCAA tournament history. She also set the mark for most career three-pointer in Division I history. So when we say she's a bucket, she's an absolute bucket. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. What do you think that Caitlin Clark proved last night with her performance?
Oh, that she's big time, that she's a superstar, that she's every bit as big time as we all suspected that she was. You know, we sat on this show yesterday, the three of us actually talking about this. And, you know, what I said was you got to show up. Greatness, Shannon would know a thing or two about it, the three-time Hall of Famer that he is. You know, greatness is about moments. We understand when you're great, but when you're compared to the great ones, it comes down to moments. Last night was a moment. That was what I kept emphasizing. You're going up against Angel Reese and LSU, and Angel Reese that you've never beaten, okay, right. In five matchups that you've gone up against her. You've never been able to take her down. You've got a Final Four berth on the line. The residue from losing in a national championship game in lopsided fashion, I might add, is the backdrop of all of this coming into the game. So, yes, we were looking at Iowa, but the world was looking for Caitlin Clark. What are you going to do in this moment? LSU is bigger, more physical. A lot of people assume that they had the better roster, et cetera. What are you going to be able to do? And what does this girl, Caitlin Clark, do? She goes out and she puts on an absolute show. I mean, bombs away, 9 3-pointers, dribbling behind the back, driving into the lane, pinpoint passes, 12 assists, galvanizing the troops and soaking greatness out of them that we didn't even know existed.
Right.
When you look at Kate Martin and others stepping up and doing what they did, this is what you're looking for when you want to cement your status as a bona fide superstar on your level. And last night, that performance by Caitlin Clark, prime time, national television, to show up against that team in the fashion that she did, and to have a four-time champion like Kim Mulkey talking about her in the fashion that she talked about her, say, I'm glad you're leaving, et cetera, et cetera. It just cements what greatness is supposed to be. Caitlin Clark put it on display last night. She's got to do it again come Final Four, particularly with UConn waiting for her, and then possibly South Carolina, even though we don't want to summarily dismiss NC State. But in the end, the moment arrived, and Caitlin Clark answered the call. It was a spectacular performance on her part. She was sensational. And by the way, Ryan Rucco was sensational calling that game for him as well. My buddy Ryan Rucco, a sensational job.
Yeah, for sure.
When Ryan Rucco said, Caitlin Clark is possessed. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. At times, she was unconscious. For me, watching that game, it's one of those games where you can't even be mad. Like, you can't even be mad at Caitlin Clark. You can't hate on her. You can't say anything negative about the way she performed. There's not one thing you could take away from that and be like, oh, she was this or, oh, she didn't do that. She checked every single box. That's why Kim Mulkey hugged her so aggressively at the end of the game, because it's like, dang, you did great. I can't stand it, but I love you for it. Like, Kim Mulkey even gave her an aggressive hug when the game is over. That's how you know it was real. You know how you dap somebody up just aggressively because you're like, yeah, that was great. I can't stand you for it, but I can't say anything bad about it. She was poised. She was under control. She manipulated the defense left and right. She got to her spots. And for me, one of the biggest things, Stephen A., you mentioned drawing things out of other teammates that we didn't even know was there. The numbers for Kate Martin and Sydney Affalter specifically. Now, Gabby Marshall played great defense. Hannah Stolke's running the floor. But this right here, pay attention to the top, because I know people don't like to read the entire graphic. Kate Martin and Sydney Affalter, points per game against top 25 opponents. I know they had games where they balled out. But in the regular season against top 25 opponents, look at the numbers. And look at what these two have been able to do in the NCAA tournament. They have stepped up and they've been big. Kate Martin had 21 points against LSU. One of the buckets was a one-foot fadeaway shot on the baseline. You're like, Kate Martin, what? The way that Caitlin infuses confidence into her teammates and the way now they're able to play on this big stage with that level of confidence, I'm telling you, it's just incredible. You can't be mad at it. You can't take anything negative away from it.
Guys, I think the thing is that what LSU got themselves into trouble is they let Caitlin Clark get to her spots early. You know she likes to drive the ball to the left, and when she drives to the left, she's looking to pull up. I don't know, Andrea, look, you follow the women's game. Why on earth would Kim Mulkey instruct her guys to go under the screen and not fight over the top? I'm not giving Caitlin Clark that kind of space. What she did was confirm what we already knew. There's a reason why she's the all-time leading scorer. There's a reason why she's top three in assists. We've never seen an offensive player that has the offensive repertoire. Could somebody possibly score the basketball better? Sure, if you want to say that. Could somebody pass the ball better if you want to say a true point guard? I'll give you that. But when you combine the two, when you're making a dish and you say for a woman's college basketball player who had the offensive repertoire of a Caitlin Clark, I defy you to find me one. There's not one. She checked the boxes. We wanted to see. Stephen A., you said it's about moment, and that's what professional sports come down to, moments. And the moment arrived when we needed to see her. Could she do? It's almost reminded me like, Stephen A., I know you'll remember this. The Duke UNLV. You remember the first year in 90, UNLV blew them out.
Blew them out by 30. Blew them out of the building.
Got the rematch. And Krista Leighton and those guys stepped up to the occasion.
Hold on. Caitlin, hold on. Go ahead. Hold on.
They did have Grant Hill that second go round.
Yeah. Difference. They had it the first go round. They had it the first go round too.
You know, I mean, I don't think he was there the first go round. Maybe I could be wrong. I don't think he was there the first go round. He came in there as a freshman, and you know, ultimately knocked off UNLV. They didn't have him when they got lost by 30. But go ahead.
But when you look at what she was able to do and the fashion in which she was able to do it, and I don't want to take anything from it. But I thought this was a horrible coaching job on Kim Mulkey, because you had Kaylee Van Lith, and she was the three S's. She's short, she's slow, and she was sick. Flaje Johnson, all year long, guarded their best perimeter player. You get into a game of this magnitude, Stephen A., and you put Kaylee Van Lith on her, who's 5'7" against a 6-foot guard. She's sick. They talked about she had to get an IV. So she's been under the weather, and she's slow. Flaje Johnson is your best athlete on that side of the ball. And that's not to say that still might would have happened. Caitlin Clark still might have got 41. She might have got 51. But I'm going to put my best defense. I'm going to do what I've done to get me there. Flaje Johnson is your most athletic young lady on the court. She should have had the assignment because that's the assignment she had all year. But to make a long story short, and I went long. I made a short story long. Caitlin Clark is legit. No more question. Don't say, well, if she don't do this, if she don't do that.
No more question.
You don't score the buckets that she scored in her career. You don't have the assists that she has in her career.
Right.
And you don't do take a dormant program and bring it to the national stage like she did without being who and what she is.
Well,
every box, whatever the box you have, Stephen A. Ford.
Right.
She checked it.
She checked it. Make no mistake about it. She deserves all the praise in the world that she's getting right now and then some. And by the way, South Carolina is the big monster. They were undefeated in the regular season last year. They're undefeated this year. The one loss they've got in the last 2 years is to Iowa. It was to Caitlin Clark, who, by the way, against South Carolina last year in the Final Four, dropped 41. 41 on South Carolina, too. So let's remember that as well, because Iowa, based on what we've seen from Caitlin Clark, they could win the national championship right now, which is what Andrea Carter was talking about yesterday, and we get all of that. What I would say to you about this, and Andrea, you're perfectly suitable to answer this better than any of us. I would say this to you. When you talk about Shannon putting Johnson on Caitlin, as I watched Johnson, athleticism, quick, high-end competitor, big time, no doubt about that. If I'm Mulkey and I expect this game to go down to the wire, I'm thinking I'm going to need Johnson. And if I got her preoccupied with Caitlin Clark early, she might get in foul trouble. And if she gets in foul trouble, that might neutralize, you know, what she can do for us down the stretch. That's the only thing that made sense to me as to why you wouldn't have Johnson on Caitlin Clark to start off the game. That's the only thing, Andrea.
Right. No, I hear you, but then after Caitlin Clark comes down and goes behind the screen and knocks a three on Haley Van Lith, and then you put last year Poa on her, and that doesn't work either.
Yep.
Like, at some point, I think you should have started maybe with Flage just to give her some length and give her a little pressure early, and then switch it up. Then go with Haley Van Lith, then go with last year Poa. But to have Haley Van Lith as the primary defender for the majority of the game, there was a time where I was sitting there, and it wasn't even to be dramatic. I was like, this almost feels like self-sabotage. Like, why would you create this matchup? And to me, it's not fair to Haley. Like, anatomically, the height difference is something that is extremely difficult to overcome. And guarding Caitlin Clark, I'm going to put it this way. You are in constant conflict with yourself when you're guarding Caitlin Clark. You don't want her to go right, because when she goes right, she gets to the rim and she gets fouled. So you want to force her left, but when she goes left, she can create space and pull up. So you're in constant conflict with yourself. And then even the help side defense is in conflict, because when Caitlin gets past the first defender, do you want to flood to Caitlin? Because she's such a great passer. The level of conflict that is internal for defenders guarding Caitlin Clark, I haven't experienced it myself, but I've experienced things similar, and Caitlin Clark takes it to another level because we just talked about how great she is. You're constantly thinking, do I want to force her left? But she likes to shoot when she goes left. Do I want to force her right?
Well,
she's got that inside out. She can blow by me. It's conflict. And then you put Haley Van Lith in that situation.
Let's simplify it. She's the Steph Curry of women's basketball. Period.
Yeah, 100%.
Just Steph Curry of women's basketball.
That says it all. I want to point out two things. Number one, Andrea has been gassing up Iowa. That's for Iowa fans specifically. I know you've gotten a lot of heat over the course of the season, so just want to point that out. I also want to say, Caitlin Clark, she had 41 points, 12 assists last night. It's the second time in NCAA tournament history that a player had 40 or more points plus 10 or more assists. The second time it happened was last year. It was Caitlin Clark in the Elite Eight.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person.
And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, let's go over to the other game last night. Paige Beckers in UConn taking on Juju Watkins in USC. And Beckers did not disappoint with 28 points in the Huskies' 80-73 victory. While Watkins' 29 points, it wasn't enough. However, Juju does now hold the NCAA Division I freshman scoring record. Paige and Juju spoke after the matchup.
Today was one of the most rewarding feelings I've ever felt in my life. Just seeing where I was a year ago today, just starting to do individual workouts, starting to feel the basketball again, get the ball in my hands again and play, and now I'm here and with my teammates and my coaching staff, I'm going to the Final Four.
Just coming up short, I think that adds a lot of fuel to the fire for the next couple of years. I'm just excited to go back home and get in the gym now, and I'm really focused on learning from this season as a whole and things I can improve on, definitely my efficiency and stuff like that. But I'm just grateful for this year because I've learned a lot.
All right, Stephen A., I'm going to start with you on this one. How impressive was Paige's performance last night?
She's something special as well. And, you know, Juju is a baller. Juju is going to be spectacular if she's not already. You know, ultimately the offense got neutralized, and you expected, as Andrea was educating us yesterday about UConn, you were expecting UCLA's toughness size to ultimately force UConn to use its bench. But when you've got somebody like Beckers, here's what Shannon and Andrea, I've been bringing this up for the last couple of weeks or so because I'm a fan of Paige Beckers. Mm-hmm. The reality is that she got hurt. I want everybody to understand something.
Twice.
She got hurt twice. You're absolutely right. I want everybody to understand something here. She arrived on the college basketball scene when Caitlin Clark was already here. And we were talking about her. She's a National Player of the Year as a freshman. Mm-hmm. This girl was spectacular. She gets injured and she misses the entire year last year. And that's when Caitlin Clark really busted onto the scene. Not to say that she wasn't doing special things prior to that, but she really busted onto the scene in Paige Beckers' absence. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm seeing this girl, nasty knee injury, when people talk about her career aspirations, her ultimately going to the next level, the WNBA and stuff like that, all you ever hear about is, okay, that wasn't the first time she had a nasty knee injury and what have you. So you wonder about her health. Mm-hmm. No one says anything about her game.
Right.
And so she goes out there last night, and what does she do? She drops 28 and 10, and she's making things happen when it counts most. A matter of fact, she looked a hell of a lot like Caitlin Clark a little bit last night, and at least a little bit. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. Friday night, when these two go up against one another, oh, I can't wait for this. This is going to be special. And this is what I'm talking about right here. And to know that Beckers is healthy and she's performing, to imagine her going up against Caitlin Clark, that is something you fantasize about on any, in any sport, on any level, when the creme de la creme has to confront one another. This is another moment. And Friday night is going to be special. It can't miss television as far as I'm concerned. I can't wait. Beckers did not surprise me. As long as she's healthy, she is clearly an elite player in the game of college basketball for the women. She is something special to behold, and that's saying a lot because I'm a big-time Juju Watkins fan. This girl is special, and she's going to make a hell of a lot of noise in the very, very near future. Average 27 during the tournament. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, you know, and as we're talking about all of these players, the one thing that Paige and Caitlin can lean on in these tough moments in the tournament when they have to dig deep is their experience. They've been here before. Juju in the future will lean on this experience and she'll be better for it because she's already amazing. This is only going to make her better. For Paige to play the way that she is playing, it's not just the scoring. First of all, two seasons ago, she only played 17 games. She missed all of last year. And then you bring her in this season, and you were asking her to play without multiple teammates and starters on the court with her because they're on the bench in sweatsuits. And you're not just asking her to run the point guard. You're asking her to run the point. You're asking her to be a wing and make a million different cuts before she gets the ball and then slow her speed down to score. You're asking her to play back to the basket. And then, I don't know if people paid attention, when things got tight, who guarded Juju? Paige did. Paige's defense is underestimated. And what I'm really looking forward to and hope I get as an analyst, it would just be a dream, Paige guarding Caitlin. We just talked about mismatches with Caitlin and LSU. There's potential because of the competitor that Paige is that she will go up and defend Caitlin. And that one-on-one matchup, that's a dream. Watching two players go at it head-to-head, it's remarkable. But Paige, what she's been able to do, coming back from injury with a depleted roster. She played all 40 minutes. Aaliyah Edwards and Nika Mule did too, with foul trouble. But Paige leading the way and connecting all of the pieces, it's unbelievable. It's really fun to watch.
But guys, did you see the difference in the ball game? When Juju got the ball early, what did Geno do? Blitz her? Make her give it up? Trapper every chance he got. He's like, I'm not going to let you go haywire. We know what you're capable of doing. One player in the college game can dominate, can take the game over. And so a lot of times early, she got her points. But, Steven, if I'm not mistaken, it took her 23 shots to get those 29 points. Yeah. And so Geno made a conscious effort early. I'm going to blitz her every chance I get. I'm going to show her a lot of different looks. I'm not going to let her get it going. But Paige Beckers, we got to remember, guys, as you said, Stephen A., she was the player of the year as a freshman. So we know what she's capable of. The only question that we had, would she ever be able to come back and be the same player coming back off of those injuries, especially that knee injury? Stephen A., she's coming back next year. If you thought she was good this year, hey, wait till next year. If you think you know her now, you will never know her if you don't wait till you see her next year. Because she has it all. Put the ball on the floor. Andrea can get to the rim. She got the mid-range game. And late in the ball game, Stephen A., you saw that mid-range? She turned around. One-footer. Take that with you. I know we only up one, but I'm going to put this one. I'm going to put us up three. And then I'm going to come back down and I'm going to drop a three on you and put us up six. I'm like that. I am what everybody says Caitlin Clark is. I was Caitlin Clark before she was Caitlin Clark. Man, these games last night, Stephen A., Andrea, I don't know what the ratings, but they did women college basketball great.
Justice.
Not good, they
it
did them
special.
Great. Because this is what we wanted. I was just hoping, man, I hope all these games are close because I want the people that come, I want them to stay. They couldn't leave. They could not leave. And, man, I am so excited. Man, I ain't never been so excited to watch this,
never.
Stephen A., in all my life.
Never.
And I've watched all of them.
Now, listen, I have my daughters. I'm like, to sit here, watch this. Watch, we ain't missing this right here. Get your popcorn ready. I knew it was going to be special. That's number one. Number two, Juju Watkins shot 25 times, 9 for 25 from the field. Number three, Paige Beckers played all 40 minutes.
Yes.
She didn't sit down once. And so I'm looking at that. You got 8 healthy players. Everybody else is unhealthy. You compromised. Geno Auriemma, give him a lot of credit where credit is due. 23rd in Final Four appearance in history. They deserve a lot of credit. But I'm telling you something right now. This girl back, she's something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she has the kind of attitude. This is what I love about her. And Caitlin Clark, both of them. I believe both of them have identical personalities in this regard.
Yeah.
Here we come. Yeah, we know it's about us. You know, you think it's about her? No, you think it's about her? We'll see. Here we come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, listen, many, many sports are about that, but especially the game of basketball. It's like, it's like football. You got offense, defense, special teams. You understand? So you see two quarterbacks going up against one another, Shannon. They got to compete against the opposing defense, not against each other. You understand? If one team got an elite defense and the other one don't, you got an advantage if you had the quarterback spot. No, on a basketball court, you get to go against one another, particularly when you're playing a similar position. Angel Reese ain't trying to guard a Caitlin Clark. She can't run around chasing Caitlin Clark. But you know what? Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark could end up guarding one another. This is what I'm talking about. So when you look at basketball, if you looked at Kobe going up against D-Wade to a lesser degree, whether it's a Paul Pierce or LeBron James or whatever, at some point in time, it's me and you. What's up? Let's get it on. And that is what we have in store, I believe, for this Friday night. And, boy, I'll be on a Friday night. I'll be in front of a TV somewhere. I promise you that. I ain't missing this.
My favorite part about all of this, from South Carolina to NC State to Iowa to UConn and all the storylines, like, people now, they get in because of the storylines. The storylines are amazing. They stay in because of the basketball. That's the best part. Eyes are on all of these players and all of these teams because of the storylines that are attached to them. But once the game starts, once you're sitting in your seat, you can't go anywhere because the games are just that good. Their performances are that good. Their skill sets are that good. So come for the stories, stay for the execution, stay for the buckets, and stay for the competition because it's there.
By the way, one key fact just for the audience to know. Paige Beckers, when she was hurt last year, it snapped 14 consecutive appearances to the Final Four by UConn.
Yeah.
So now they've been to 15 in the last 16 years.
Yeah.
Just so the audience knows.
Yeah.
This is familiar territory for the Huskers.
Exactly. She's been there before for sure. What, Dre, were you going to say something?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, I remember being at Tennessee. We had a game day show at Tennessee. Tennessee was playing UConn. Paige couldn't play, and Paige was emotional. Like, in warmups, Paige had to kind of sit by herself for a second. You could see. We were like, is Paige upset? She wanted to be on the floor so badly. She wanted to play so badly. And to hear her in the postgame say this was one of the most rewarding moments for her, it's because she wants to be out there. She wants to help them win. And for them, let me just say this too, for them to get back to the Final Four with this team, and then they add the pieces that they have where they're over there on that bench. On Friday, when you watch the game, just look at the Connecticut bench for a second. And look who's in sweatsuits. And just think, just for a little glimpse, we're not going to skip this season. But UConn getting back to the Final Four, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Coaching, it's discipline, it's players. Like, it's unreal that they're here. We have to give Gino and that staff credit. Like, we have Dawn Staley, who's back with a whole new starting five. We have Gino, who's back with half his team. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be really great to watch them on Friday.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We got Tim Legler with us, and we'll start with a quick take. Legs, Caitlin Clark, an absolute bucket last night. She had 41 points leading Iowa back to the Final Four. What did you think of her performance?
You cannot overstate the greatness that we watched last night, because you're looking at a player that had so much scrutiny, so much attention, defensive game plan, pressure, the weight of making her teammates better, and she basically pitched a perfect game. She really did. Every decision she made was the right decision, whether it's scoring or facilitating. I just saw somebody get into a comfort zone on a stage that should represent the greatest pressure they're going to feel. She looked incredibly comfortable, and then her talent took over. Her brain did not interrupt the muscle memory.
Yeah.
And she let her muscle memory take over. It's too often the brain interrupts that. She didn't have that issue last night.
Yeah, it was so good to watch. All right. To the association we go. Devin Booker was a bucket himself last night in the Suns' 124-111 victory over the Pelicans. Book had 52 in the win. That gives him 162 points in his past three games against the Pelicans, for the most for any player in a three-game span against any opponent in the last 50 seasons. Now, Book joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only players with three straight games of 50-plus points against the same opponent. He also had 9 assists in the Suns' 124-111 win over the Pelicans in New Orleans. All right, Shannon Sharp is also here with Legs and Stephen A. Shannon, I'm going to start with you. Should we expect more come playoff time from the Suns' big three?
Well, we demanded more all season long. We can't understand why a team with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Now, we know Bradley Beal has been in and out of the lineup due to injury. But you got a Kevin Durant, who's a generational talent, who's a walking bucket. Devin Booker, the exact same thing. And here we are, and here you guys are in the, what, seventh, eighth spot? That's unacceptable. Yes, we don't expect it. We demand it. We demand any team to have a Kevin Durant or a Devin Booker on it to make a deep playoff run and to be in the Western Conference Finals, because you're talking about two of the elite offensive players in all of basketball. You got Yusuf Nurkic, who can rebound the basketball. I think earlier this year he had a 31-rebound game, a couple of 20-rebound games.
At 19 last night.
But I think thus far the Suns have underachieved. There is no way, Stephen A., their record should be what it is, given the fact of who we're talking about on that team. Bradley Beal has played, I think, the last 10, 15 ball games he's been there. But when you look at Book and you look at KD and you're looking at guys that on a given night, both guys can give you 30 and they can give it to you in an efficient manner, we should demand that, guys, y'all got to go further than be out in the first round. You guys got to be farther than the Western Conference semifinals. You guys need to be in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And then that might not be enough, given a hoot. Nobody has two guys on the offensive end that can match the firepower that those two guys have.
Well, and there's a couple of people to point the finger at. I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to look at Frank Vogel, because Tim Legler, this. In the fourth quarter, they have been highly suspect, particularly defensively. We can't ignore that. Number two, you got Yusuf Nurkic. And again, he's not DeAndre Ayton. You can actually trust and rely upon him. I'm not trying to throw shade on DeAndre Ayton, but he wasn't happy in Phoenix. You know, he was a bit temperamental, to say the least. Some days, nights he showed up, some nights he didn't. He wasn't reliable in that regard. But Nurkic is, in terms of who he is. Whatever he is, he is. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about his temperament getting in the way. The game is either there or it's not. But you don't have to worry about stuff that, in terms of his personality and all of that stuff getting in the way, right? So if you know you've got that person to rely upon, just being a big body that can go out there, give you a little points, give you some productivity rebounding-wise, then that's less for you to have to be worried about. You, Frank Vogel, you got to figure things out defensively. That's the reason you're a head coach in the NBA. You're a head coach because of your offensive brilliance as a mastermind on the offensive side of the ball. You're there because of what you did in Indiana defensively, what you did in Los Angeles defensively, what the hell is going on with the Phoenix Suns. So we got to look at it from that perspective. I'm looking at Beal, Booker, and KD together. When they played in games together, their record's 21-13. I'm sorry, I expected better than that.
Exactly.
The three of y'all in the lineup, what's 21-13? I mean, damn. Just 8 games above 500, you can't do better than that? I think you should. That's number 3. Number 4. Shannon, Legs knows how I feel about Devin Booker. I don't know if you know. I've often used the analogy, he's Kobe-esque. I love this brother. I'm one of the biggest fans in the world of Devin Booker. This brother is the truth, okay? He is something special and got the game and got the attitude that goes with
for
it
sure.
And doesn't shrink in big moments. He might be more effective than he is at other times, but it ain't because he's shrinking and wilting beneath the pressure. It's either your shot's falling or it's not. But he doesn't have any lack of confidence. He continues to come at you. KD, can we see that, please? You are a two-time champion. You are a two-time NBA Finals MVP. Once upon a time, we were comparing you to the GOAT James, according to Shay Shay. You understand what I'm saying? I call him LeBron, not GOAT James. But the point is that that's what you did, all right? What's up with that? This is your team. You understand? It's Devin Booker's team, too. But you, KD, you the champion. You the two-time NBA Finals MVP. You one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. What's up with this? Okay? Bradley Beal, really nice to see you in a playoff kind of atmosphere, because God knows it's been a long time since the nation's capital has had that to enjoy. So you being in this situation, we'd expect more from you, too. In the end, they got a roster. They got the roster to get it done. If you're the New Orleans Pelicans, I don't know what the hell is up. I know that Devin Booker, what is it saying here? You know, he was a native of Moss Point, Mississippi, located about 110 miles from New Orleans, had about 40 relatives in attendance. I mean, damn. I mean, could you stop him 3 straight 50-plus games against you, New Orleans?
Nope.
Everything I said, looking at y'all and thinking that y'all are championship contender, I mean, damn, that just goes out the window. All you got to do is put your kryptonite in front of your face, which happens to be Devin Booker, and you'll fold like a cheap 10. I mean, damn. Get it together, New Orleans. But in the end, last point, Tim.
Yep.
5 of the Suns' final seven regular season games are against teams ahead of them, Shannon. Two against the Clippers, two against the T-Wolves, one against New Orleans, and they're only a game behind New Orleans for the sixth spot, which would take them out of the play-in game. So if there was ever an opportunity, as Shannon was saying, Legs, for Phoenix to step up, it is now.
Well, listen, the segment started with, should we expect more from the Phoenix Suns? The answer is hell yes.
Yeah.
And look, people in Phoenix know, because they've been all over me, because I have been trashing the Suns for the last few weeks. When I saw them play the Milwaukee Bucks on national TV and had no interest in competing in the game, right, they gave up 140 points, 24 made threes to the Bucks without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Without Giannis, and the Suns had everybody at their disposal. And then they follow it up with a loss to the San Antonio Spurs, sitting Victor Wembanyama. I'm sorry, man, but a 52-point game out of Devin Booker and a win against New Orleans is not enough to wash those two games out of my memory bank. So to answer the question, yeah, because at minimum, they should be considered a legitimate title contender. Nobody is talking about the Phoenix Suns in that vein. There's a number of teams we're going to start listing before we would get to the Phoenix Suns. Yeah. And when you have that level of offensive talent at the top of your roster and they're all together, you have to expect this to be a team that can make a run all the way through, all the way through, even compete with a team like Boston in the finals. But we don't talk about them in that vein because something is missing. Something is missing. And look, even Bradley Beal, he's gone seven straight games under 20 points. What's the point of having three guys like that if you can't figure out how all three guys can be great on the same night? They have not been able to discern that this year. And that, to me, has been the biggest head scratcher.
I get you. I'm going to come to you, Shay, but I'm not going to hold Bradley Beal that accountable if you got Devin Booker dropping 50. Like, sometimes you're deferential because somebody else got it going.
But you're talking about one game. I just said he hasn't been over in the 20s in the last seven games. This is a guy who averaged 30 points a game in Washington. 30.
Yeah, but he – but Legs, you have to understand, he was the first option. He's third option now.
No. And Shane, listen, I'm not even blaming him. I'm not even saying this. What I'm saying is they haven't figured out how the three of them can have the proper ebb and flow to make them unguardable. Yeah. Because two of those guys are cooking on the court at any one time.
All right, so what are we looking at then? Is it Frank Vogel then? Because, listen, the one thing we have to say complimentary about, by the way, about Kevin Durant, who's just a superstar and a future Hall of Famer, is this. He's one of the most selfless superstars you'll ever encounter. He's very unselfish.
Yeah.
And so if somebody else isn't getting it going, it's certainly not because he's hogging the ball.
No,
that's not what Kevin Durant does.
Right.
So there's got to be another reason. What's that reason?
For me, when I watch them play, I just do not think when they're at their best, the ball touches the middle of the floor off a ball screen. It touches Nurkic's hands. It touches Eubanks' hands. It touches, even the other night, Thaddeus Young's hands. When they get the ball to other guys in the middle of the floor off ball screen, and then they play inside out to their three-point shooters, that's when it looks like a team that's got an offensive flow that's going to be very difficult to guard, because we know at the end of the day, you get into the last 8 seconds of the shot clock, they've got three different guys that can win any one-on-one matchup in front of them. Right? That's a great thing to have at the end of shot clocks, playoff situations, the game slows down, possessions are more meaningful. When you've got that at the end of the possession, but you can't play like that earlier in the possession. Inclusion of other guys. When I've watched them play that way, that's when I look at them and say, man, they could make things very interesting if they keep this up. They have been really inconsistent in playing that way. So is that Vogel? Yeah, to a certain extent. You're the one watching the film, putting the game plan together and pointing these details out.
Bill, 8 shots in 39 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not figuring
Shannon
out how to include
it. Go ahead, Shannon, real quick. Go ahead.
Guys, when you look at this, what I don't understand, when you got those three guys, how can you be so bad at giving up leads in the fourth quarter? And you know, come playoff time, the game come down to clutch time. The last 5 minutes, the game within 5 points.
Right.
When you got a Kevin Durant, you got a Devin Booker, you got a Bradley Beal, man, you guys should be damn near unbeatable in situations like that, because you got three guys that are elite that can go beat anybody off the dribble. And no team has three elite defenders. And even the elite defenders can't guard those type of guys in situations like what you want to be in clutch situations. So it's unfathomable to me that the Suns can be so bad at blowing leads late in the ball game, Stephen A., when you got a Book, right. You got a KD, and you got a Bradley Beal at your disposal.
And a closing comment, Christine, mm-hmm. It's really this simple. In basketball, you don't score and keep the ball. The other team score, you get the ball back. So how somehow, some way with those offensive weapons are you losing fourth quarter leagues with all that offense? Yeah. If nothing else, they shouldn't be able to stop you.
Right.
Exactly.
I do want to say that the Suns improved to 10-1 when their big three combines for 75 or more points. They had 85 last night, but of course, as we mentioned,
and they won nine of their 52. Last 14. They won nine of their last 14. I'm so touched.
Yeah.
I'm so touched. They won nine of their last 14. That means they lost.
I don't do it for you.
That's how
it's very touching.
Yeah. Right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back. The New York Jets acquired Hassan Reddick in a trade on Friday with the Philadelphia Eagles, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Basically, the Jets and Eagles swapped edge rushers. Bryce Huff, who led the Jets with 10 sacks last season, signed a three-year $50 million contract with the Eagles on day one of free agency. So the Jets bolstered their offense in free agency, signing Tyron Smith from the Cowboys and Mike Williams from the Chargers. Then they helped their pass rush, acquiring Hassan Reddick from the Eagles for a 2026 pick. All right, Shannon, I'm going to start with you on this one. Will the Jets win the AFC East if they are healthy?
I got the Buffalo Bills. I like the addition, Stephen A. They can't stay healthy. When was the last time Tyron Smith played a full game? Mike Williams get hurt every year. He's a talented, ultra-talented receiver. Big body guy, great run after the catch, can high point the football. He's great, but he can't stay healthy. Javon Kinlaw has not lived up to expectations when he's taken as a top 10 pick for the 49ers. That's why they were able to get him from the Jets. So, no, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is about to be 40 years of age. Now, they told me a couple of years ago, if they had a quarterback, this is a Super Bowl caliber team. We're about to find out if this is a Super Bowl caliber team. Tyron Smith should be great. If he can give them 13, 14 games, I like it. I'll love it. I believe he's the most important piece because you have to have somebody that can protect Rodgers. And Rodgers is going to have to play like everybody believes him to be the four-time MVP that he is. But I still like the Buffalo Bills in this division.
Well, listen, Shannon, this is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy about you. Clearly, what we're asking is if both sides are healthy. That's what we're asking.
Buffalo.
All right. Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Soldiers, Buffalo Wild Wings. I got the Bills with
you. You know what? So what you looking to your right for? Here's the deal, bro. Here's the deal. You can say that they don't have Gabe Davis anymore. Let's pay attention to that. That's a viable number two option. I got a problem with that. Stephon Diggs, we don't know how happy he is and whether or not he'll end up staying there. I got a problem with that. Even if he's staying there, he doesn't want to be there. We got to pay attention to that. Here's what I would say to you about the New York Jets right now. Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. Let's not forget that.
He used to be a bad man.
Stop that. See, that's blasphemous. That is blasphemous. That's blasphemous. Just stop it right now. right now. No, he's a bad brother. Come on now. I bet you this. He damn sure ain't Zach Wilson. He damn sure ain't that. Okay, let's get that out the way, okay? So we got this, right? You got a number two. You got a number two receiver with Mike Williams now. Coming off the ACL, I recognize that. So health is an issue. Assuming he's healthy, a viable number two to Garrett Wilson being your number one option, okay? You improve. You got three new offensive line starters. You got a defense that was ranked third, 12th in scoring defense, despite having the second worst offense in the entire National Football League. And then I'm looking at Buffalo and some of the changes they're talking about making. We know Miami is allergic to inclement weather. We know that when they're playing in the beautiful sunshine of Florida, and I would know because I was just there, Shannon, and it was a beautiful sunshine. Ain't no doubt about that. Okay, when you're playing in the beautiful sunshine, you know, near South Beach, it's a different world when you go away from that. And so I don't believe in Miami because of that reality. The Jets got a chance, bro. And I'm telling you right now, if you're telling me that everybody's going to be healthy, I would pick the Jets to win the AFC East this year. I really would.
You see what you did, Stephen A? Oh, they got a chance. You know they have the lottery drawing three times a week. I got a chance. I ain't won it yet.
Did you play? You just say that you want to. You know, you're lying. So let me get this straight, Shannon. You too busy to go to the Lakers game because you got to work. But you got time to go to the lottery? Is that what you're trying to say?
You got time. I drive by the convenience store.
When you got time to go to the convenience store? You don't have time to go to the. And here's the thing about you, Shannon. You not only do you not have time to go to the convenience store, you ain't going to let somebody go up there and pick it for you. You ain't Jordan asking anybody else. You ain't going to let them pick it for you.
I'm the machine picker.
Really?
Yes.
So you got time to pick lotteries three times a week, but you ain't got time to get to the Lakers game. Are you trying to tell me? I stop it. You're such a liar. That's nonsense.
Hey, we live in the same vicinity. You know what traffic is like trying to get to those Laker games, especially on a weeknight.
Right. You know, you go early enough, you know, you can.
But I ain't trying to be out there sitting there.
Or you could wait a little bit late and get there midway in the first quarter. It's either or.
That's what I do.
Exactly. And traffic ain't that bad at that time, at that particular moment of time. You can work around.
You be hating. All I'm saying is, look, if you telling me Aaron Rodgers can play comparable to what he played his last years in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why can't are you trying to tell me, Mr. Hall of Famer, you trying to tell me he can't? You trying to tell me that Aaron Rodgers can't do that?
No.
With Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams as weapons?
No, I'm saying, you know, there's a conspiracy theory that's brewing that he wanna perpetuate. So he might be busy doing that.
Oh God.
What
am I supposed to do with that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he gonna bring up conspiracy theories. I got no comeback for that one, Janet.
Yeah.
I got no comeback for that one. You know what? So, well, maybe his conspiracy theory is this. I might run for election and in the same breath be an all-world quarterback again. What's wrong with that?
He just might do that. But I still like the Buffalo Bills. I still believe that Josh Allen is the best quarterback in that division.
Well, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that. I don't think anybody's better than Josh Allen. I just think Buffalo's going to need more than Josh Allen. They're having a personality transplant. I think the Jets are in a better situation than Buffalo, personally, as long as they're healthy.
All right, got to end it there. Got to get to break.